The Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to this edition of the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast. It is a bit of a free-flowing opening sequence here for episode number 319. We had Josh Decker scheduled to be on the line. I've called him a couple times, and he is not answering. We're going to go over a bunch of the stuff that had to do with Mini Meltdown, the fact that it is going to go on at this point. Good evening and welcome to everybody who is tuning in. I got a message a couple hours ago that Brian has been ordered to work. So Brian's not going to be here. We're here. We're hanging out with everybody. Going to try and make the best of it. It is probably approaching 90 degrees in here. It is the third floor of a brick schoolhouse. It's not a cool place. I can't imagine kids trying to work through summer school or some of those hot springs, some of those hot fall days when they were in this building and going through, you know, second and third grade back when this building was constructed back in the 30s. It is exceptionally warm in here. Like I said, Brian was ordered to work, so we're not going to see him tonight. I am hoping to hear back from Josh so that we can get into some of the details regarding Mini Meltdown and Spinning Wheels production schedule and some other things they've got planned through the course of the year. You know, it was good. I caught up with Josh a little bit leading up to Jeremy Gulley's video. At this point, you're allowed a couple people and a driver. And Mini Meltdown is going to be adjusted a little bit. No fans, unfortunately, going to be allowed to enter the grounds. So that's where things are at. I wanted to talk with him a little bit about some of the challenges that Spinning Wheels went through leading into the decision-making. We'll hopefully be able to get into all that with him here in the next few minutes. Going to have Ryan Schaffner on the line as well. There was a lot of derby action over the weekend. Some good news coming out of Christy Germain's camp regarding everything that was happening with their derby in... man, everybody's checking in. Jeremy Smitha out there. Jeremiah Opie saying hello. Duncan Cram. Sam Banda says the same thing about Decker. Oh, boy. There's Duncan, Jeff Schumann. He says, following up on last week's comment, when Brian was talking about getting back to the welder, it's a case where Jeffy tunes in with earbuds. So he's not actually watching. He's still doing everything he has to accomplish there. And Rob Sitton tuning in as well. Thanks for checking in there. Alex Vasco and JMW Motorsports checking in as well. Alex, hopefully his face has continued to heal well. Got an extra mouth there plugged into his cheek after he took a shot from a chunk of metal off the track. Ed Brewster right now, I believe, is still in the Carolinas. Was able to meet up with Megan and Lulu down there and got hung up down there, I believe, during that earthquake situation. So hopefully everybody, all of our friends in the Carolinas and greater Virginia area are doing okay. Shockwaves felt as far away as Ohio on the heels of that one. I gave Pete Hansen a call today. Talked with him for a little bit. That was fun. Got an earful about all sorts of stuff. Chris Polly down in Mississippi. Chad Dunlap's there. Matt Free. Devin Germain. Actually, we got a free minute if Devin does want to call in or Jeffy wants to call in and let us know what's going on. I have not heard anything back from Decker at this point. Mark Benjamin tuning in. What is Porkchop doing in Mississippi? I wonder if he's down there for work. So, yeah, I am caught a little bit off guard. I don't want to get in too much of the stuff with Ryan Schaffner because he's not supposed to be on until later, so I guess we're going to limp this thing along here for a few minutes, and we'll see what we can do. I apologize if I keep looking away. We're supposed to have a lot of different stuff going on right now. So, 448 Promotions, Jacob Prusman, he's got some bad news, but some good news. So right now, they're in a situation where their season points finale was canceled in Fonda on Sunday, September the 6th, but they're going to run that same weekend at the Hamilton County Fairgrounds in Webster City. Worcester City, Iowa. So everybody is going to be able to see the 448 season come to a conclusion at this point. The plan right now, bolt and chain compact, standard compact, limited weld, modified as advertised for Fonda, and then trying to maybe add a stock any year mix there. Trail Race is going to be on schedule as well. We're going to circle back around to Devin Germain here in just 1 second. Domination Motorsports sharing some information about some action coming up this Saturday. Derby start time is 5 o'clock. It's a little bit earlier than most of the times there. This is the Demolition Derby in Cherokee, Iowa. It's August 15th. Classes and payouts, full-size hobo, 2,000, 1,000 to win, or 2,000, 1,000, 800, 400 back through, street stocks, 1,500 win, weld compacts, 900, front-wheel drive hobo, 800. You can find out more about that one on DominationMotorsports.com. Candace and her crew were in action at Bowling Green earlier this month. They had this past weekend off at this point, and I know, there it is right here, Robbie Gustin is leading the point series going into Cherokee. Dustin Wright, Zach Ullman, Nathan Farley, Terry Gibson, Trey Ewer, Rob Ewer, Jared Ullman, McChicken running their way back down through in the top point getters thus far as they go into Cherokee, Iowa. It was kind of cool. Candace's dad ran in a derby and they won their heat and ended up getting down into third place in the team derby. Jacob Prusman was in action at that same derby and qualified into the main event and took it down. I think he got it down to third place or runner-up in the main and in his class as well. Zach Anderson was in action over there. It was a pretty well-supported derby. A lot of the drivers that we saw there, when you look at that entry list, it was pretty impressive. All of the different drivers that were on that list, it was hard to pick a winner one way or the other. We had toyed a little bit with the... Sorry, I'm doing production stuff all at the same time. I'm going to mute this quick. That should be Jeffy. Oh, not yet. I got that muted. So, Devin Germain, their show for October is like more than half full, and it's going to be a two-day show for that one. Hey, Jeffy, what's going on?
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey. We were just talking about how fast the Humberstone Derby was filling up there in Ontario.
Oh, yeah. It's a growing concern, definitely, for sure.
Did you say it's a growing concern how fast it's filling?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, I gotcha. This is...
Sorry about that.
No problem. I was really surprised how fast that was opened up on Saturday, and man, it loaded up quick again. There's a desire to derby in Ontario.
Oh yes, definitely. I'm glad something's happening. I hate seeing everybody's posts with how upset everybody's getting because they're just stalemated all year at stocks.
Right. All right, perfect. Dustin Woods, you are on. You're on deck. PM me a phone number, please, Dustin. We'll chat with Jeffy for a little while. How are things going? Can you you serve a mandatory necessary service to the Demolition Derby population across the country? Are you able to get into Ontario for deliveries and everything still, or has that changed? Is there a reopening date that you're looking at where you're going to be able to cross the border again?
Well, I was trying really hard to go up to the Humberstone show, but what they were saying at the border is if you cross from the States, you're supposed to quarantine on the Canadian side for 14 days. You're supposed to have a place where you're supposed to stay for 14 days before you can return.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an absolute must. Christy and Devin have traveled back and forth to go to the U.S. mailbox, and they've amazingly helped me get parts into Canada, and we have that little chain going, and that stuff's been working out. I couldn't risk, if for some reason I got the wrong person on the wrong day at the border, I couldn't risk being stuck in Canada. Not stuck, that's the wrong term, it would be awesome, but I couldn't risk being there and not being able to come back to the shop for 2 weeks.
Sure.
It would just be far too detrimental to the business. So as much as I could probably use a forced 2-week holiday, I couldn't things open up October, but from everything I've read and looked into, they're saying it's that the border's going to be closed at least till the end of the year, and I'll just keep sending care packages up to Devin and Christy, and they can keep shipping stuff out, the border up, and you know, keep in touch with everybody via Facebook. But yeah, it sucks. I've got family I haven't seen in a long time, and it sucks.
Yeah, it's certainly a challenge. I was reaching out to Pete Hansen to ask him about if he was going to run the Keystone Nationals, and we got into it. If you've ever had a conversation with Pete, you know that you go with the opening question into 100 miles an hour right away, and there's all sorts of banging and everything going on in the background, and we had like all these different perspectives on things, and it was 100 miles an hour for 20 minutes, and then he goes, "I got to go finish a trunk," and that was that. But it was great to catch up with him. Unfortunately, he's not going to be at the Keystone Nationals, and I was remembering that one of the best finishes that we've ever seen front to back at Demolition Derby was when he drove that that car with no steering for like 45 minutes and winning what I believe was his second Keystone Nationals championship down there in Brookville, Pennsylvania. I was hoping that he was going to be there. We were going to talk a little bit about Brookville tonight. Splice that together with Decker, have a nice, concise Northeast show. Obviously, plans go awry. Are you going to be making the trip up to the Keystone Nationals at any point?
As of right now, yes, it's in the works. I got a huge open invitation from the Soda Open crew when we were talking at the Hardcore show a couple weeks ago. Steve said, "Are you coming?" I said, "Well, I don't know yet." And he said, "Happy to have you here, open arms, whatever I wanted, primo parking, come vend, come hang out." So that was super cool. We touched on the fact that I was talking with Daryl Muldoon and the Indiana guys with Steve Saopa, and we were touching on the fact that things have changed in the eyes of some of the promoters as far as vendors bringing a certain level of I don't know the right word, but basically vendors coming to events complements the show versus it just being a flea market, you
right.
know,
yep.
type of thing. So,
yep.
They were on board with me coming, and I said, yeah, as long as Robin doesn't have a race, we'll be there. So
to clarify, that's going to be a work trip. That's going to be a work trip, not a driving a derby car trip.
No, that's definitely a work trip. none of my cars have moved. My Florida car is still in the same parking spot. Nothing has been pushed to shop. It has been, thankfully, with everything that's going on, I am still as busy as ever. So I'm extremely thankful for that.
Right on. Is there anything on the horizon that you're going to be able to get back to driving, or are you stuck at the plasma table?
Depending on what happens spring 2021, I do have some new teammates for Florida.
Yeah.
Southern Nationals.
Sure.
Depending on how that kicks off. There is some talk in the works with some very high-level, very skilled drivers that are willing to join me, so I'm very flattered with that. I don't know. I would like to take a round out of a Camry or something at Chaos, but we'll see if that even kicks off.
Right.
I don't know.
Everything's
just so unknown. It's crappy.
There's a bunch of lawsuits and stuff that has started out here that a bunch of local racetracks have joined, sort of a class action suit trying to block the injunction, some of the executive order stuff to allow racetracks to have fans. So there's challenges there. And looking at the landscape, I don't even know what to think in terms of, you know, we lost Bash for Cash this year. I guess in hindsight, we're pretty fortunate that we got Capital City Carnage when we did. Blizzard Bash, everybody that I talk to is, I don't know. And those are private conversations. You know, it's not like there's anything formal. As of right now, it's still going to happen, but it's been a very interesting year. There's a county fair derby that just got the green light, which was good to hear up Manitoba. I was talking to a couple drivers up there. Scott Burdonic was telling me about a show that got the green light, so that was good to hear. Towards the end of September. So Looks like they're coming back to life a little bit. It's a area that I don't really know enough about. I know we've had plenty of talks about the GG2, Anthony Jackson, and Regent Cure, and Dean San Clemente, and those guys up there. Scott's up in that same general neck of the woods. I honestly thought that Scott was further east here. He's over. He's even outside of Ontario. So he's got a little bit of a different perspective on things yet. Yeah. And I don't know enough about what's happening in the derbies and that Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta stretch through the Midwest of Canada.
There's a few parts trickling to Alberta. There's a few private low-key ones that have gone off. There's some bigger ones that they're trying to put on, some fundraiser ones, like Gavin Butts got one out there on the East Coast that he's trying to get off, and it's a smash for multiple sclerosis and stuff. And they're really pushing hard to get it done with a big cause behind it. But anything that's got county or city attached to it has pretty much been kiboshed with stuff.
Yeah. It certainly is a challenge to find the room to do it. I mean, New York still is in complete shutdown. And, you know, the person I think that's capitalized the most on this is Frankie Guy. In terms of where we are out here, he doesn't have any pressure from county fairs at this point, and it's allowed him to really showcase what he's doing with the hardcore series and all the support that they've put into Roaring Knob. Obviously, they've got a vested interest in making sure things are successful. And with the way that organization is structured, you've got this new, I don't know if it's new, but at least a different experience when you're going through the tech line, and that level of respect, whether you're completely new to the sport, whether your car is bubblegum together, or whether you are a national caliber driver, they're treating everybody the same, and they're making a lot of inroads. And I think that when we get back to having county fairs, when we get back to having regular derbies on a regular basis, that Frankie's made enough progress with the hardcore group where some of these guys are going to opt to do his schedule and do his points versus going and running some of these other county fairs that took the year off in Pennsylvania and Ohio.
But Frankie can be like kind of the bell of the ball at the moment. He's got this little track in the middle of nowhere. The guy that owns the track is a motorsport guy from way mm-hmm. back. He ran sprint cars, and my brother-in-law Matt knows him, of course, and we were talking to him, and he's got this little piece of heaven in the hills in PA, and you got to go down a lodging road to get there, and you know, there's no county close by, there's no city close by, nobody even knows you're there, so all these trucks and trailers can show up, everybody can do their thing. The senator was there, but you know, there's police there, it's just a great atmosphere. He's got it made with this little spot, and then after the first or second show, when the track owner let him, said, yep, we can put in a permanent pit, you know, do what you want to do, we can move those trees, these shrubs, there's your announcer stand and everything, because the guy's been in motorsports for 20, 30 years, he couldn't believe what we brought to the track.
Right.
He was just beside himself, and of course, he sees dollar signs, he's a track owner, but he's got big respect for Frankie and what he's got going on, he's letting him do his thing, and it's good that you know, guys are traveling from all over. I mean, Chantel drove whatever he drove to get there, and all these other drivers showing up from far away. But you touched on Frankie's crew there. Frankie's crew, no disrespect to any other sanctioning body. I've been around them all over North America. Just one thing that you can touch on with Frankie's crew is these guys are so happy. They're just happy. You know, it's not the, and I'm going to call Nick King out on it, but it's not Nick King on a Friday night when he's had, you know, five guys tell him off. It's not that. It's these guys are just bubbly and happy, and it's interesting to see. They're walking around with their bottle of water, taking a break, come by the trailer, shoot the breeze, and they're just happy. And that's interesting to see. They're not griping about how, you know, hard the drivers have made it on guys for tech. It's they're just positive, and that's right. Nice to see.
We got a couple comments coming in. Christy said, give me a call. Devin's busy cooking, but she can talk. Dave Bongiovanni's Dave Bongiovanni is down in Georgia, and their state is wide open. Unfortunately, they did reopen some schools there, and you saw that picture that went around all over the place. Now 9 of those kids ended up sick that were part of that school reopening. So hopefully everybody can recover there. They're taking a couple days off just to make sure everything stays stable. So the problem for Dave, though, is there's no derbies in Georgia. It just doesn't happen.
There's definitely a big gap there.
Yeah. You go from Virginia and like the top of North Carolina, and then it's I-95 until you get to like Tampa for a derby down in Florida.
Yeah.
Jeremy Smitha, he says that things may not be looking good from the governor's point of view in Kansas, but he's praying every day that they make the right decision. You had a car? Wait a second. Christy said that you had a car at Humberstone.
Okay. So leading up to the event, I had absolutely no idea. And then the Saturday before, we've got a group chat with us. And she's like, "So you're coming, right?" And I'm like, "I don't know if I can," and blah, blah. She's like, "Well, you need to come. You know, we'd love to hang out." And then a couple hours later, she's like, "Look, you son of a bitch. You have to come up here because Devin built the car for you." And it just broke my... It filled my heart with glee and broke my heart at the same time. So nobody... And I mean no disrespect to anybody that's helped me in the past. I love all my friends that have been in my shop throughout the years. But nobody has ever built me a car. Ever.
Right.
Like, the gesture was just beyond... it would have been awesome to go up there, see everybody, hang out, throw the helmet on, you know, run and everything. It's just all this crap. It just couldn't happen. So, super flattered, super thankful. I feel like a heel for not being able to go or not pushing it to go, but I just couldn't chance it.
Yeah, it's too much to risk. I saw it was
super flattering. Like I worked Devin and Christy pretty hard. Like, Devin's been down to the shop. He spent weeks in Virginia. He's helped me in the shop. He's worked his butt off. He's run all over the country for errands and shipping and dealing with the headaches and customers and late night phone calls and that kind of stuff. But I must be doing something right because, you know, they liked me enough that they would take their time to do something like that. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's unfortunate you didn't get a chance to drive it, but maybe they'll throw in some mothballs and at some point by 2022 you can get up there and do that.
Yeah, and I usually do good with rent the wrecks. I've never had a fresh one, so I probably would have watered it up pretty quick.
Were you in the States when Jake Doyle went on his tear back in like 2014, 2015? Do you remember here? So Jake Doyle's
traveling.
He's a New York guy. He doesn't get out of the state much, and I really wish that he would because I think his driving ability can match up against anybody. He was at Metal Destruction 3, I think 3, maybe 4, and it was a GM, and he's all Mopar guy, and he ended up winning the raffle car, and he won the Derby with it, and we got talking in the pits, and I didn't realize this. He had won like 3 or 4 raffle cars in a row within probably 8 to 10 weeks at that point, and won the derbies that he was in. Like, it was incredible.
Oh, wow.
And he generally doesn't really bag or anything too bad. He can drive the wheels off stuff. I'd never seen or heard anything like it. It was pretty impressive.
I've done very, very well over the years with rentals, with guys looking at a car in their yard and they go, it's got a bit of life left in it. It's, you know, you want to change an axle and put some tires on it, you can take it Friday night. And I go, okay, well, shit, I'll take it. And I've gotten very, very good with those. I won Peanut Fest down in Virginia with an Andy Anderson rental, and I won Bud's Creek with another Andy Anderson rental with guys looking at the car going, you bought a half a car. And I'm like, no problem. I'm not worried about it. And they end the night, they go, where are you from? And I go, Canada. And they look at me funny. Yeah, I like those events. So I was taking home some Virginia money before I lived here. It was kind of nice.
Sure. And the nice part about Virginia, if you win that money, you don't have to give all of it back to the state right away.
That's it. I wasn't here. What are you talking about?
Even when I was down there, I thought the way that the tax situation and stuff was put together was pretty nice in the Commonwealth.
Yeah, going from Canada to here is almost like there's no tax at all.
Right. Yeah. New York was it was a different world. world compared to New York for sure. Yeah. I saw the Fab Farm banners flying over a virtual derby track this weekend. Cody Koch had Koch Racing Promotions had a video game derby over the weekend, and Jeffy's logos were flying over the compact class I saw.
Yeah, Jason hit me up a month or so ago and said, "Hey, we're going to do a virtual derby. It's it's the 8th or whatever." And he said, "Do you want to be part of it?" And he says, "I'm thinking about doing a Fab Farm mini class." And I said, "Yeah, I'm in." He said, "Well, the initial talk was, we're going to have a class, you know, what are you thinking?" And I talked to him about, you know, prize money and that kind of stuff. And I said, "Well, what about a mini class?" And he says, "Well, the mini cars don't exist yet." He says, "They're just kind of trialing them out." And then I don't know enough about it, but he says, "You're just kind of," and I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, if you happen to get them to pass or whatever the deal is and they run them, then let's do a mini class." And he hit me back 3 or 4 days later and said, "Yep, we can do it." And I said, "Okay." So that's how the Fab Farm virtual mini came about.
It was really cool to see that. It was a good time. Kyle Homer ended up picking up 2 wins out there during the course of that one. He won the Gut and Go feature and the Pro Stock feature. Zach Drummond won the event overall. George Hinote was second place in that one. He probably was going to win the thing, never popped the radiator, but he ended up driving over the nose of Zach and rolled over for the second time.
Oh.
Yeah, it was tough. George Hinote, of course, from GH Graphics. Travis George won in the compact side of things. James Logson was out there in the 222 and had 1 wheel left. And I don't know what it was, but he had 1 wheel left, no back wheels, and only one on the right front corner driving on the concrete, and he wheeled it down to third. It was pretty cool. It was fun.
That's cool. I haven't – something interesting has happened lately. I've had more people ask if it's okay if they can put my name on their car than ever before with this virtual stuff. It's pretty freaking flattering. Like,
it's wild, you know. I was getting a bit of a bit of razzing, and it was I believe it was a case of truths are said in jest, where people really do think that it's silly that I talk about video game stuff on here. But when you look back over the course of what Crash Course has talked about, that is periphery derby between magazines and apparel and roof signs. We've had a bunch of different artists on here. People that have driven cars, but we've also had Jason Sauer on here talking about the fact that he drives, yes, but he also rattle cans cars, and he's got art displays, and he's gone down to Miami for the art shows and stuff like that. But we've had people on here talking about model cars before. We've had people on here talking about RC Derby a bunch of different times. We've streamed RC Derby, and I just like to say that this is another extension of what the Demolition Derby community has to offer. We got into a bit of this back and forth Saturday afternoon on the trip up to Genesee Speedway. I had to produce a race for Dirt Track Digest, and I was with Mel Thomas, the guy who, I mean, I've learned tons from him about racing and writing and announcing and video production stuff. I have a ton of respect for the guy. He didn't know anything about Derby beyond the stuff that we've put effort into getting past, the typical county fair type thing, the redneck, it's just a bunch of junkers and stuff.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Seriously, like, I've heard you talk a little bit about this stuff, but seriously, like, do they really have that much money in the car?" And I told him that at Blizzard Bash, it's not unheard of to have a car that's got between $15,000 to $20,000 in the thing. You know, you get $15,000 just in the motor, and then you start adding rear end, transmission, tires, and drive shaft, etc. It's not, he said, that's insane. And for comparison's sake, and you're a racer with straight line stuff, but if we look at what the Oval has to offer, the track that we went to that night up in Batavia at the Genesee County Fairgrounds, that track features a crate sportsman class. The amount of money that is in a car at Blizzard Bash to run one time would fully fund one of those sportsman teams in a very, very strong manner for the entirety of the season. We're talking traveling schedule and weekly stuff, or even a very, very solid 360 sprint car program. And it just, it was hard for him to get his mind around. And, you know, we go from talking about all that money that's invested into a car at Blizzard Bash to talking about video game cars and results. It's just another way that Demolition Derby has evolved, and some people just don't know it.
Anybody that's in the motorsports or any kind of sport, Matt and I talk about it all the time. And, you know, every weekend, Matt and I are either in the shop, at a dirt track, at a drag strip, or whatever. I mean, you've had conversations with Matt and know how deep the motorsports history goes with this family that I marry into. It's beyond anything you could think of. I'm sure you would agree with that.
Yeah.
And Matt and I talk about it all the time. If you want to be at a certain level of anything, golf, go-karts, mountain biking, demolition derby, drag racing, if you want to be at a certain level, there's a cost involved. Time,
sure.
Effort, money, whatever. So if you want to be the best badass with the best, you know, video card and the best feed on your whatever, there's going to be the biggest monitor. There's going to be the best highest level video guy. There's
sure.
going to be the best circle track guy. There's going to be the best whatever. And if you want to be competitive, you got to learn, work, buy your way in. So I've got a friend that has 5 different dirt tracks, 5 different chassis. He runs a whole bunch of different classes, and he keeps having issues. He gets stuck in traffic, and he blows them up, and he wads up the car. And I said, hey, man, if you're into wadding up cars and blowing engines, why don't you try my sport? At least the payouts are better. And he gets pissed at me all the time.
Right. I don't know. You know. I don't know if an IMCA modified would fit under altered wheelbase.
Well, when you're buying a 1-year-old rocket chassis, late model rocket chassis for $30,000, and then you're putting a crate in it, and then you're going out and turning 5 laps and messing the thing up, I'm like, you should build a pro modified car and go run a couple of fairs.
Yeah,
like
that's
it's a lot of money being spent there. So.
You want to make a small fortune in racing? Start with a big one.
That's it. Yeah, you know how to be a millionaire with racing, start out a billionaire. But I'm very fortunate that every other weekend or everything when we had before all this stuff was going on, every weekend we're in some sort of motorsport where we are constantly picking up information and mixing it up. We have a giant mixing bowl of information that we go to every week for helping our customers, and that's everything from dirt track to circle track to straight line to demolition derby, like you said.
You got to get your butt to Turkey Derby, Kyle Polly says.
Chop, I will be there. And Chop, if you're listening, your headers, I'll get your headers done this week. Going back to what you were saying about Pete Hansen and the conversations, you should try and take a parts order from Pete Hansen.
No.
Hey, I need this. Okay. What about this, this, and this? And then 3 days later, you get a message. Yes. Yes to what question? I asked you 2 questions. It takes about a month to get an order done, so it's pretty awesome.
It was good to talk with him. I missed the conversations with him. And next year, if you can believe it, next year is 30 straight years he's been derbying.
Oh, wow.
Yep. He's been around. You referenced the headers there a second ago. So I was having a conversation with a gentleman about carburetors one time at a racetrack, and I was talking about how I don't understand it. I don't get it and everything. And he said that a carburetor has one job, is to take air and mix it with fuel. And you think about it in those terms, it simplifies the process because you're understanding that air's coming in here, fuel's coming in here, the fuel's held here. The job of the floats, the jets, all this other stuff is pertinent to the job, but ultimately the carburetor's only job is to do those 2 things. And we got into it and started learning a whole lot more stuff by simplifying it. And I don't know why I never thought about simplifying it that way, but sure enough, it dumbed it down enough to where even I could understand a little bit of what we needed to do. So is there a boiled down purpose of exhaust so that you can understand how the back pressures change and the airflow and everything like that, because usually really all the exhaust is doing is moving it from a chamber inside the block and putting a tube out to the atmosphere. But things change when you put more bends in it and your angles and the shapes of your ports and everything like that. And then two, before I let you go, is do the theories change when you're building stuff for a demolition derby car where these stacks are coming straight off the block and going straight up into the air, versus building it for a drag racing car where it's coming off the block, it's coming back, it's coming at an angle, and then it's turning up out underneath the body of the car?
Okay, to your first question, you got to go to the physics of an internal combustion engine. Physics of an internal combustion engine haven't changed in 140-something years.
Right.
So air and fuel comes in, it gets lit, it gets compressed, it gets lit, and it pushes, it turns that reaction into motion.
Mm-hmm.
So even the most efficient internal combustion engine out there, even the 21st century, even the most efficient engine, 70% of that energy turns into heat. So 70%, 3/4 of that energy turns into heat. So in our world, in the demolition derby world, that's our nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
So the starting point of an internal combustion engine, 3/4 of that starting point is our nemesis. So wrap your head around that.
Jeez.
In the demolition derby engine, the first thing you want to do is get rid of that heat. So that's the main focus of having the headers come out and go straight up. Heat rises, assist it, it goes up. Mm-hmm. As far as tuning of the engine, exhaust is only crucial on, and I'll probably get some hate mail or some whatever, but from everything
good
I've learned, and I don't know everything, I learn every day, but I would like to think that I'm above average when it comes to messing with engines on a daily basis.
Mm.
Unless an engine is naturally aspirated, exhaust is crucial. So if you've got a turbocharger, you're going to funnel that into the turbo, and it's going to help the engine make power. If
sure.
it's supercharged, it's got a power adder. Exhaust isn't as crucial. If it's blown, you just need to get the exhaust out. It doesn't matter because it's forced induction, and you just need to get it out of there. But on a naturally aspirated engine, there is some tuning involved as far as the engine itself. And the norm has always been, I need bigger, I need bigger, I need bigger. But the problem is there's, oh God, I could spend 6 days on this with a whiteboard and I could have a lab class, but we won't get into that.
Professor Jeffy.
If you go too big, a couple things can happen. You need air around the exhaust valve to insulate it. And if the air is gone, if there's no cushion there, you can burn the exhaust valves out. So if your exhaust is too big, if you've got a Lucille 305 and you put 2-inch primary headers on it, you're going to burn the exhaust valves out and do damage. So that's not about back pressure, but that's just about having some air there.
Interesting.
So it doesn't evacuate too fast.
Sure.
Back pressure is required on most engines because if it's coming in at a certain rate and going at a certain rate, it needs to be balanced, and that helps the engine run. The biggest thing that I can tell guys, that I tell guys to do, is stick with a 4-into-1 header. A 4-into-1 does it on a naturally aspirated engine, does a thing called cylinder scavenging. And what cylinder scavenging is when there's a fire, when there's an explosion in one pipe and it goes rushing by the other pipe, it creates a low pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And that low pressure helps you evacuate all the spent gases. When that exhaust valve opens, it helps evacuate the cylinder. When the cylinder is completely evacuated, you can fill it with more air and more fuel. And when you fill it with more fuel, you get more power. It's just physics.
So you're getting one pipe off of one port. As that runs up through, it has a suction effect on the other pipes, and it helps them clean out faster?
Correct. So if I had a smoke machine, and I said, if I started blowing air out of one pipe, and I had a setup, I had a 4-in-a-row, and I had another header with a collector on it, as I blew air through the one pipe, you would see it suck the smoke in the pipe next to it, in the header with the collector, it wouldn't do it with the four in a row. Mm. Or the turnouts. You know, so on a dyno on a perfect day, under perfect conditions, a four in a one is always a far superior header to a four in a row or a turnout.
Gotcha.
The physics help. It's cylinder scavenging. Look it up on Wikipedia. It is legit. It's physics. It's internal combustion engine. It's been around for 140 years. So yes, there is a benefit to certain headers, and bigger isn't always better. And I've been telling people that for a long time, and they'll just say, "Well, I want that," and I go, "Okay, I'll make it," and it's $200, and here you go. So I said my piece. So.
There it is. Straight from Professor Jeffy, size does matter.
Yeah, but the other way.
I'm going to get a hold of Dustin Wood. He messaged in. He wants to talk about a prelude show that they've got going on as part of Triple D promotion schedule. So I'm going to catch up with him quick, and then we're going to get Ryan here in a few minutes, too.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem.
I never thought about the vacuum effect on a 4-1. That's interesting. Yeah, so I hope some folks learned something.
Yep, you'll check it out. You'll enjoy it.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for being there for us.
All right, see ya.
We'll see ya. There goes Jeff Schumann. Hopefully I said his name right. I may have blown that on him. Okay, so we're going to do a couple different things here. First and foremost, we got to run through some of this stuff before we do anything else. Here it is. Blizzard Bash. That's coming up here in November. I lost our phone number there. So we'll get this going, and then we'll get with Ryan here, too. In a few minutes. This will be quick with Dustin Wood. So, Blizzard Bash, Stormont Vale Event Center in Topeka, Kansas. November 11th is the heat draws. November 12th, National Qualifying Team Brackets opening round. Then we're going to move into November the 13th, round two for the National and Team Brackets. And then November the 14th is the Twin Bill, Saturday morning, compact and limited weld team heats. All the Team B features, trucks, and limited weld, one and done. After that, Championship Sunday, November the 15th, blizzardbash.com for more details. On that one, Keystone Nationals. We talked a little bit about Keystone Nationals. Dustin Woods is waiting in the background right now, so we're going to be catching up with him here in just a minute. Keystone Nationals, September the 19th, Jefferson County Fairgrounds, Brookville, Pennsylvania. 10,000 win super stocks, 1,500 to win stock compacts, and 700 win youth class. Pit gates at 9, general admission at 2, derby at 6. All the division winners get a championship belt, and the youth winner will also get a derby ready car. Smash It Demolition Derbies is hosting Blizzard Bash. We told you about that. No confirmation yet, but it sounds like grandstand events in Ohio have been washed out in full due to COVID, so we aren't going to be able to have that one happening for Smash It at this point. For the rest of their county fair schedule, I still need to get the rest of that information put together. Up next for the Unified Point Series, August 15th, Hardcore Destruction on the Knob. That's going to be the one that's up next. August the 22nd is the Everton Fire Department fundraiser in Connersville, Indiana. September the 5th is Hardcore's Labor Day Lockdown in Mark Leesburg, PA. September the 12th is Getting Junk's Huntington County Fair in Roanoke, Indiana. September the 19th, the Keystone Nationals that we just talked about, hosted by Iron City Promotions. September the 26th, Hardcore's Final Confrontation. And that wraps up the 2020 Unified Point Series. Thankfully, able to get some of these events in as a whole. John Shipley still out in front, 60 points. Don Santel second. Nick King, Jeremy Riley tied for third place. Jeffy's Fab Farm, we just had Jeffy on the line. You can find them on the web, jeffysfabfarm.com. Check out the virtual store and order now. Jeffy's Fab Farm, they specialize in the Ellis conversion components and earned all of their cred with all their various header offerings. You've got to remember the Fab Farm just released that solid four-cylinder Camry engine mount and the Hyundai Elantra 1.8 and 2.0 displacement headers. The store offers bumper-to-bumper selection, including fuel and air parts, suspension and transmission items, steering components, pedals, shifters, switches, and gauges. If you need it, make sure you visit the farm. Smith Metalworks, another big part of the Keystone Nationals. Smith Metalworks is an all-purpose fabrication shop that has taken the Northeast by storm. They have a combined 40 years of experience. The hallmark of the product line is the pointed and the flat bumpers, replicating popular factory releases. They can be stuffed or ran hollow. They make Crown Vic skins, battery boxes, and engine mounting systems, pedal combos, shifters, all the odds and ends, and of course they have those GM floor liners, in-person locations for pickup are Mercer, Uniontown, and Bethlehem, PA. Online, you can have it shipped to you as well, smithmetalworks.info. Experience and passion, second to none. So we got through all that stuff in pretty rapid fashion so that we can shift gears and move over to Dustin Woods, who's waiting patiently online. Dustin, man, how are you? Thanks for coming on.
Good, Chris. How you doing, man?
We're doing okay, man. So tell me about this event Labor Day weekend that you've got set up here. This is going to be the prelude to the message. This is the prequel to The King, and it's in Portland, Indiana, September 5th and 6th, but you're going to be using this as the springboard to a show for 2021.
Yeah, so we started a thing this year with Triple D Promotions, and the number one goal was to create a hierarchy and some organization within the sport. And one of those decisions that we made was to have a qualify only event. But you know, obviously, how do you do that? How do you have a qualify only event? Who do you choose? Is it subjective? Who is the best out there? So how we decided to go about this is to take the Ohio County Fairs, mm-hmm. and get winners only, and okay. invite what we call the King of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, obviously, it's been a tough season in Ohio, and sure it's has. Been a tough season for us as well as everybody else. You know, so with everything being canceled, we decided to go over to Portland, Indiana, which I grew up in Salina, so I'm not too far from Portland,
mm-hmm.
and you know, have an event and hold an event called the Prequel to the King, and for these guys and that haven't had a chance to qualify. To the King of Ohio for next year, as it is a qualifying only event.
Gotcha. So this is all divisions. If you won something at a county fair, so somebody that won a weld class is just as eligible as somebody who won a figure eight race?
Yeah, so not necessarily figure eight race. So when we put this together, we had to look at what most county fairs run.
Mm-hmm.
And what we came up with was like a front wheel drive street stock, a truck class, a compact class, a front-wheel drive class, and obviously what we would call a main class, which mm-hmm. would vary from like a kicker to a turn-back-the-clock type deal to sure. a pro stock. So what would happen is, or what's going to happen is, if you qualify, let's say you qualified at Mercer County, where I'm from, and you won the front-wheel drive class, or the street stock, you know, compact class or whatever, you would qualify for that particular class.
Okay.
And that would be winner only.
Gotcha.
Now, if you won the main class, let's say the main class in Mercer County was a mod class,
mm.
we would take top three out of that, and you would get entries into the $10,000 to win class at King of Ohio.
Gotcha. Very interesting. I like it. See, New York had a system a lot like this. With JM Productions and the State Fair Championship, and they had the State Fair on Labor Day at the fairgrounds in Syracuse, and that was the cutoff. So everybody that ran after Labor Day, because we still had county fairs that ran after that in New York, you'd qualify for the following September. So Labor Day 2019 comes, everybody runs, that stops. The county fair happening after that in 2019 is qualified for 2020, and they run all the qualifiers all summer long, and then everybody goes and they congregate into the feature plus the qualifying heats that they had that same day. You're doing the same thing, only it's spread out over Ohio, and part of it's taking place in Indiana. But I like it. I like the way that the format's put together, and it gives some incentive to run some county fair stuff too. I mean, it's going to help car counts for you guys with your events, but it's also going to help incentivize some of your county fairs too.
Yeah, you know, often the sport of demolition derby, you know, it gets called a sport quite often, right? And
mm-hmm.
I strongly debate that it's a sport yet, because there is no, like, hierarchy. There is no champion being crowned at any particular show. But I know that getting it, you know, to be called a sport or an official sport, but we need to have a minor league system, and that's kind of how we see the county fairs as the minor leagues,
right?
To what the major leagues would be. And, you know, all these regional shows are popping up that, you know, now are called national shows and things like that. But are they really a regional or national show, you know, is, like, debated, right? Like, you can debate that. Like, a lot of the shows, I mean, I'm sure we can agree that, I mean, yeah, heck yeah, it's a national show. If you win that show, you're a bad dude.
right, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's very, very impressive. But we just wanted to create that so, like, you had to use the minor leagues to qualify for, you know, for the big leagues.
Sure. Well, I like what you're doing. Where can people find out more about this? Triple D Promotions, right?
Yeah, Triple D Promotions. You can go to our website. We have entries up right now for the Labor Day show, the prequel to The King. And what's pretty cool about that is we're giving out a number of entries in each class. Mm-hmm. We're paying pretty well, so the front wheel drive, rear wheel drive, trucks, compacts, and youth will all pay $2,500 to win.
Okay.
Along with the kicker paying $2,500 to win, and a turn back to clock style limited well build class paying $2,500 to win, and then our pro stock is going to pay $5,000 to win. So.
Nice.
Pretty good payout.
Yeah, it's very good money. I like all that. Let's keep in touch on this as it goes, and I'd like to know more about your qualifiers and stuff. I mean, certainly keep us in the loop as this evolves. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to be on again, and I appreciate you reaching out. You know, I reached out, but I appreciate you having me on today, and I'd love to talk to you more. And by the way, I'm a huge fan. Love what you guys are doing. And I've listened forever, so.
Well, you know, tonight is one of those tough nights, and we've encountered it periodically where things just don't go right. And this is why I continue to believe that we have some of the best supporters and some of the best fans out there. Is when Josh didn't answer, I had constructed the whole show around a conversation with Josh and little pieces of information. And I asked a couple questions out loud here, and all the folks in Facebook blew up, and that has made this to be a very good show. We've got some new voices in here. We learned a little bit about exhaust. We're gonna talk with Ryan Schaffner, who's never been on the show before, here in a few minutes, and it turned into a good show, and I appreciate that, because I wouldn't have been able to do that on my own, and it was you guys that helped make this one happen, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I've been on this. I'm on this end too with you, and I know how difficult it is, and all the time that goes in behind the scenes. That it's, I mean, it's really cool to see what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Be sure to stay in touch, okay?
Yep. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks so much for coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Good luck with the show. There goes Dustin Woods, Triple D Promotions. They've got the Prelude to the King coming up in Portland, Indiana, September 5th and 6th. So, well, that's pretty cool. We missed a couple phone calls here, and I missed Josh. So we're going to be here a little late tonight. I'm going to come back to him. I want to try and stay on schedule for Ryan. So we're going to go that route first and then come back around to Josh. And out of range or no power. That's helpful. This is going great. Well, I got my phone right here, backup plan if things don't go right. Whew. Man. Hey, Ryan. It's Chris. Let me put you in.
All right.
Hey, okay. So we got Ryan Schaffner on the phone. Man, I apologize for being a little bit late. This has been a challenging night, to say the least, but I appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us for a little while. Congratulations on the win. You're on a bit of a hot streak and certainly running well with those RDP cars.
Yeah, that group that we're in is one of the most competitive groups out there, I think. And it's a lot of luck to finally get to the end and finally win one of these things.
It was a lot of fun. I was able to qualify for the RDP League through an event hosted by American Beans. And Friday, I got the chance to run with those guys. I had no luck at all. I got hung up a couple times. It wasn't the most fun to be hung up, but it was a ton of fun to watch. Some real drama playing out at the end. Joey Malloy was in there. Alex Sager was in there. That was your top three. George Hino came home with the top five after having to come through the consolation round. It was very, very tough. You guys were able to bring some new blood into the RDP event, Realistic Derby Project, on BeamNG.drive. It's powered through Steam.com. This is a video game derby that we talked a little bit with Jeffy's Fab Farm a few minutes ago. Jesse Myers put together a mod, and J.J. Dorer put together the compacts. And it has just been exploding left and right. And in the core group of RDP drivers, the team, they are exceptionally good at what they do in terms of driving and controlling these things and getting the video game cars to do what the real world cars are supposed to do. And Ryan was able to collect some of the laurels from that, winning at a brand new track, which was modeled after the track that we saw at the Sin City Showdown in Vegas. Pete Hansen and Brett Relier winning down there last year. What was going through your mind as you ran through that last little bit? It would seem to me that the nerves had to be getting awful high when Alex's car just wouldn't die, it wouldn't pop, and it was you and Joey, and Joey had a heck of a fight with Alex through the late stages there, and then you were able to keep your nose clean enough to walk away with a win.
Yeah, absolutely. We a week before that show, we were running test runs, and we ran against Alex's car a couple times when he joined for a couple rounds, and it was the same scenario. That car just will not die. You can't rip the wheels off of it. You couldn't pop the radiator. That was the one car that worried me going into the future, the car that worried me the most. And right when we got down to the final four, his front end was completely straight. All wheels, still had his radiator, and his back end was just packed up. I knew he was going to be a handful.
And it was Vito, right? Brandon Reimer got fourth place in that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of a two different battles going on there at the final four. I took Vito away to that far end of the track while Joey and Alex battled it out.
Did you have your fingers crossed that maybe Joey would hurt himself in the process of trying to hurt Alex, so your path to the win was a little bit easier?
I mean, I hate to think that way, but I kind of was hoping that something would happen to both of them to kind of hopefully make it easier if I won my battle with Vito, that I could take on either one of those guys. But
so Ryan and I don't have a whole lot of history, but we were talking with Jeffy about how we've had all these different topics on the show beyond just the actual elimination motorsports of Demolition Derby, and we've talked about model cars, and we've talked about RC cars, and we've talked about the RDP League and stuff like that. Ryan and I have a couple concentric circles beyond Demolition Derby and the RDP stuff. He's also been into the model car stuff as well. Do you still mess around with that at all?
I haven't messed around with that for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. But yeah, I kind of joined the model car scene back right when Crazy J's day was kind of starting to die out. It was kind of moving to Facebook, and that's kind of when I kind of took up on it and joined in.
Sure. I was down messing around with some stuff in my basement because, unlike Josh Decker, I have to do home repairs on my own. I don't have someone that comes in and does it for me.
Yeah.
I hope. all of my paints have dried up now. Pretty much everything's all dried up and wore out down there. So if I were to want to get it back into that, I'd have to get some new equipment to do it. But all the model kits are still intact. They're all sitting down there just waiting for something to happen to them. And nothing's happened to them in the last 5 years, and the next five probably aren't looking too much better for them.
No, I got the same way. I got a table with a wall of model boxes sitting on it with those models I never opened up. And a table full of parts that's just been sitting for 3 years untouched.
You have a history in Demolition Derby, jumping behind the wheel. Your whole family is. There's four of you that run, right, out there in Illinois?
Yeah, we got me, my younger brother Luke, mm-hmm. and our dad. We brought back into it a couple of years ago, and our cousin Shawnee, and now last year was our cousin's son. It was his first year, so there's going to be five of us out there now.
Wow. That picture of the cars that you got lined up on your Facebook page is impressive in its own right, but then you guys got a picture for your, I think for your dad, of the lineup of cars in Davenport, and you guys are getting ready to go back to Davenport here soon.
Yeah. Yep. that was Midwest Mayhem, I believe, was that picture, and it was me, my brother, and then one of our buddies, Tyler Hofstadter. We we built some stockers throughout the winter and built a whole bunch of different prototype parts that we've never seen anybody build before, just specifically for these cars and this cool set. And it was a fun run. Only six cars showed up, but it was just kind of, I guess, three-on-three grudge match, and it was a lot of fun.
Sure. Yeah, building shockers, man, you're speaking my language. I like that. What kind of shockers were they?
Just New Yorkers.
It's not just New Yorkers. Come on. I mean, they're still good.
Yeah. they weren't no fancy cop car frames or 74 Imperials, though, but
no.
they held up.
That's cool. Now, do you still mess with those, or have you converted over to the GM game now?
No, we're still messing with shockers.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Is your brother... your brother Luke is a camera guy for Derby Tees?
Yep. Yeah, he's been doing that for a couple months now.
Awesome.
Derby Tees is kind of based about 10 miles away from us, so...
I didn't realize you guys were so close to that.
Yeah, it's easy just to call Luke up and be like, hey, there's a show this weekend. Don't film it. He just comes out and goes wherever they need him to.
That's awesome. Well, good for you guys. What are some of your thoughts on how this game has developed? You guys were in it at the basement level when everything first started, got in on the first floor, and now it's continued to flourish and grow, and you've got skins coming in from all over the place, and you've got events coming up all over the place. What are some of your thoughts on where this RDP thing has come from where it began?
This game is something that me and Luke have dreamed of ever since we were kids, playing Test Drive, Eva Destruction, and Destruction Derby.
Right.
I think a lot of people think that way, that this is a game that we've been wanting for a long time, and it's come a long way since its first development, and it's just going to keep getting better. The first show that we ran, it was a lot of cars were sticking together. I mean, we still have that problem now, but it was way worse the first show we did. And it's going to keep getting better. It's going to be a whole bunch of new parts, new cars.
You know, it's easy enough to get it. It's $5 a month to get on the Patreon. You can jump on there and you get updates. Every time there's an update, it's sent to you. There's free options that are available through Jesse Myers and the RDP mod. Just through BeamNG, you can get on the Patreon, get the download, and wait a little while and go back on later on if you wanted to do that. There's a bunch of different options, and I guarantee, though, once you get it, you're going to be hooked. You're not going to be able to put it down. It is a ton of fun, and for somebody like me who doesn't have the space to build cars, I don't have the know-how to put the car together. I don't have the time either. This has been a ton of fun to get involved with it and live a little bit of some of that thrill and drama. And for somebody like you, you've been behind the wheel before, and now you've had this success. Were the nerves just as high in those last few minutes?
I've thought about this after the first show we had. I think my nerves are way worse driving this RDP thing than in the actual derbies.
But you're not as sore the next day. Is that a good trade-off? You're not as sore the next day.
Yeah, no. Don't have stiff shoulders or a stiff neck or anything.
Right. The worst thing you got to worry about is a blister on your thumb.
Yeah.
Man, I remember playing hours of Test Drive Eva Destruction. And
Yeah.
That was the best derby game that ever came out until this came along. This has been outstanding. Well, Ryan, man, congratulations on it. Keep us posted. When's Davenport coming up? You're going back out there for that this year, right?
Yeah, it's September 19th. It's a fundraiser derby. It's usually located in Cambridge, Illinois, but because of the COVID and the shutdowns, it just couldn't happen in Illinois. So. Sure. We're going a couple hours away over to Davenport. Gonna wreck some cars there.
Awesome. What are you taking over there?
The same shocker that I ran at Davenport.
Well, it certainly makes the build easy.
Yeah. At Davenport the first time, it ended up the back of the bumper shock was touching the A-arm. Everything else was straight, so I just cut off the frame. Air sport and all the new ones on, and it's ready to go again.
Awesome. Well, I hope you have as much luck there on the 19th as you had this weekend in the video game derby. Took home a couple hundred bucks there. Maybe you win some money over there in Davenport.
Yeah, me too.
Well, man, I appreciate you coming on the show again. Congratulations. I look forward to bumping into you again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Anytime. Open door.
Thanks, man.
You bet. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Yeah.
Better. There it goes. Ryan Schaffner. And I think we might be able to get the one and only Josh Decker. I'm not sure if he's tuning in and watching or not. We got some folks checking in. Well, he did a little bit. I was trying to keep everybody on schedule there. Scott Kiefer checking out. Good to see you, Scott. Thanks for popping in. This is Rich Andrews is the model king. Everybody's laughing about me making Josh wait. I just hope he answers. If he doesn't answer, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to have heat stroke by the time we're done. We'll see if Josh picks up here for us. All right, so hopefully we'll get Josh on here. Yes, Josh, how are you? Uh-oh. You're breaking up a little bit. I hope this isn't how this is going to go. We good?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes. So I was going to say, this is a comedy of errors tonight. I'm glad everything came together. How are you?
I'm good. I'm busy, so I'm sorry about that. Time's flying tonight.
I understand. It's no big deal. I didn't mean to make you wait either, but I wanted to try and get through those guys, and that way we could keep our schedule. And, man, if you would have asked me at 6:05 if we were still going to be on the air at 7:05, I would have said there's no chance in hell. But sure enough, here we are. All this news, all these changes and stuff, what's happening with Spinning Wheels, what's happening with the Mini Meltdown?
Yeah, I'll go quick. I'll fire off a bunch of stuff. So, real quick, we had to get with, I think it's a DOH.
Department of Health. No joke. These are not people to upset.
Yeah, so actually, we actually were very proactive about it. Actually, before Downsville had their derby, we were in contact with them about things that we would need to do to have a derby, and they gave us a list, and there's this guy that I contact, and his name is Alex. He's been fantastic, actually. We've got the okay. The negative is no fans, mm-hmm. And we've gotten a lot of people throwing zingers about that. And unfortunately, it's going to be a progression. We're going to have to run once with no fans, and then hopefully we can have fans for San Filippo. So if you don't have a driver that you're going with, just stay home. But we're going to live stream it. I just got off the phone with Bill. Skinny and Tix here on their way. Ben is going to be there. I think Sauer's coming. So we're going to have a good crew of people to stream it so everyone can watch from home.
Sure.
You won't miss your family members. It'll be free. Okay, we're not going to charge you, so you watch from home. But we're letting each driver come with three crew members. They can bring three crew members. I don't know, it's pretty basic. We're still allowing camping for the weekend, but only if you're a driver in one of those three.
Are all the events both days one and done?
Yes.
So it's not even like they're going to need a bunch of crew guys in terms of getting the car ready after a heat to go run later on. It's just a matter of any changes that they're going to need through tech. And it's three people plus the driver. So a total of four per car.
Correct, Chris. And the reason why is we were pushing for as many people there as we can get, of course, you know. Sure. But yes, there's nothing, there's not really probably much you're going to have to do if you are the crew member. If you bring two cars, you are allowed six.
Okay,
because each class, you could need different crew members for each class, you know.
Right.
And we're going to kick off, gates open at 6 in the morning. We'll start our show at 1. We'll do, I think we have 6-7 heats on the docket each day.
Right.
And it's called Mini Meltdown, but if you're listening at home, there is so much V8 action, it's crazy. We had 265 cars pre-registered a few weeks ago. Now, with this new COVID, blah, 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 we've lost some drivers that don't want to drive without fans or with the mask or whatever. We understand.
Yep.
We've refunded all those drivers. But actually, our number is still extremely high. We still have enough for virtually 13 heats. I think it's 12, 13 heats.
Cool.
We are under, we had to be careful with the amount of people there. So we're pushing the number, really.
Mm-hmm.
If you are there, you can watch from the stands. We're going to have to block out certain areas. You are going to have to wear your mask. But you know have to wear your mask at your vehicles if you're with your friends and your crew members. You don't have to wear them while you're driving, of course.
Right.
And I just hope everyone's respectful about it. If you can't be, if you don't want to, if that upsets you, just stay home, skip this one, and come to the next one. But as a crew, we almost feel we have to do it to get this ball rolling for our area.
If you don't do it, you're never going to finish San Filippo Smash.
We've said that. We don't want 700 cars. We don't want three straight days of action. Don't want it. And San Filippo, we already know it's probably going to have to be 2 days. You know, it's just going to be crazy as it is. So, you know, I mean, I hope everyone understands. I mean, that's really where it's at. We try to get as many people through the gate, but don't just show up. You know, our gate, everything is going to be at the front gate, our registration and everything. So, really, you're not going to be able to sneak in. Right. You know, there's no sneaking in. But we'll be giving away masks. We'll have all the right PPE. We'll have hand sanitizers, extra bathrooms, more sanitation things. You know, we're going up and beyond on our end because we don't want anyone to complain. Right. We actually are hoping that when we get done, they say, absolutely, you can have another one. You guys have done so well, you can have another one and have X more stuff, such as people.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, having a derby without fans is like watching WWE with no fans. You know what I mean? That's part of the experience. You know, football, hockey, baseball, any of those spectator sports, it's just not the same without having the fans. The benefit, like with all the local racetracks and stuff, is everything's being live streamed at home. You can still see it. You can still participate in the sport from the fan perspective, but... You know, up in Genesee, we had a couple first-time winners, and there was nobody there to celebrate with them the way that there would be if general admission was open. So there's something to be said there, having that without the fans, but on the plus side, it's going to be streamed for free, which I never thought that I would be saying that sentence, that it's going to be streamed from the Otsego County Fairgrounds in Morris, because you can't even get a cell phone call there, so... Imagine, it's just crazy how times have changed, you know?
Well, I've been working on that for years to get a landline there. You know that. Jesus, yeah. You know that if anyone knows that. And, you know, slowly they've gotten there, but they understand, the fair board members actually watch Track Shot, so they've seen the progression of it all. And we, Skinny and Ticks were just out in Mulbridge, South Dakota, mm-hmm. and had just a fantastic stream. Fantastic derby, and you know, it was rocking. We had huge numbers. It was awesome for a little derby out in South Dakota, and now we're going to go to Mini Meltdown back-to-back days. You know, we're going to push hopefully some big numbers with everyone watching at home. Awesome. And I agree with everyone that it kind of sucks with no crowd. We're not disagreeing with that, but just, I don't know, something about Buell Gully and I, Brian, we don't like giving up, and we just... I don't know. I got so many cars in my driveway. I'd smash them with no fans just because I want to smash, you know? And if you don't want to, just stay home.
Is, like, are we really finding things to complain about with a derby happening? You know what I mean? Like, isn't something better than nothing? You know, is the better option to not have Mini Meltdown at all? It would seem to me that at least being able to sit home and watch it, even if you don't have a car, or better yet, the car that you've got built, being able to use it, and at least having the fans be able to see it at home, isn't there still some value to that versus not having it at all?
A lot of drivers have messaged us and said that they really appreciate us not giving up because they just want to smash. Tons of messages.
Sure.
We each have also gotten the messages of, why are you guys wasting your time? Why are you guys doing this? And just so everyone knows, somebody, I'm just going to say somebody, I'm not going to go any deeper than that, but somebody actually called in and complained about us just from our advertising on the internet. So
cool.
we were being flagged early. We've been flagged. We've been on a watch list for a while, actually since June.
Right.
So, you know, we're being careful. Listen, obviously it's not the good old days. Obviously there's people just sitting in their houses waiting for people to screw up so they can call people and complain. It's a sad, sad world, but that's where we're in. That's reality. So, mm-hmm. you know, we're just going up and beyond. We're going to kick ass. I mean, on the Saturday, cars are going to get teched on Saturday. I think we're going to push over 150 cars a day. I know it's at least over 125. And we've been filling each class. class here the last few days, so each class is going to be 100% full.
Right.
It's going to be sick.
That's 25 cars. 25 cars a heat. You said six heats.
Yeah, 20 to 25. I mean, we're going to try to keep them at 20. So most of them have 20.
Right.
But we might add some stuff here. We're not done yet, but we'll see.
Where are you streaming from? You going to be down the stage, or are you going to be up in that crow's nest?
Crow's nest.
Beautiful. That's a nice picture up there.
You know, I was just talking to Alex for All For Him Racing, who does awesome work. Like, I was down at Frankie Guy's show, and he filmed my kid, and he does great work. He was just talking about he's going to be there filming for us also.
Awesome.
And we were talking about maybe connecting cameras, because he's right down in the action, and he gets some great close-up action and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So we're working on some stuff. We got so many sponsors that have stepped up the last few days. A lot of sponsors, which is so exciting, actually.
Right.
Well, we're just trying to get it off, guys. We're just trying to get it off, have it go well, and then get us to do the next ones.
Mm-hmm.
If no one starts the process, it isn't going to happen. Downsville did a good job. Downsville did a good job of getting a derby off, but then they caught some flack on the backside.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to be a little proactive.
What's next after this, then? Is the rest of the schedule going to be focused on San Filippo and no county fairs happening?
Great question. We're actually in talks right now with a racetrack, and I don't want to announce it yet, but it's probably going to happen. They're building the track right now for us.
Right.
We'll probably put on another show before San Filippo. And then we got San Filippo. And San Filippo is going to be crazy.
Right on.
San Filippo is going to be nuts. Muscle cars are being built right now, by the way.
Awesome.
Don't forget that, everyone. Muscle cars are being built. Some are done. It's exciting.
That's going to be wicked.
The muscle car. It is. Yeah, but thank you for letting us get it out. I mean, it's a tough thing, man. We could have just given up, and we went back and forth for a few days with each other, just like, what do we do here? Mm-hmm. Because we're taking a loss no matter what.
Right.
But we got to smash cars. If we don't do nothing, kind of sucks, right? And if we don't do nothing, then we have to go into San Filippo with no crowd, right? If nothing gets done the next few weeks. Because San Filippo is only 5-6 weeks after that.
Right, right.
You know, so, and listen, San Filippo is our baby. You know how, like, much heart we have about that. I would be okay losing money all year long to make money on San Filippo for the kids.
Sure.
Like, have prime day for those kids. So, you know, I mean, we got to go through this to get to that.
Right on.
So, yeah.
Well, the raffle car for the Crash Course Nationals in September is going to be pulled this coming Saturday, and this is the Weld class car that all the proceeds off of this car are going to San Filippo. If you can't get Event Sprout to work, if you can't find the link, message me. I will do PayPal transactions for people on this car to put you in on the list. Not only do you win the skin and get to drive in the Weld class feature on Saturday of the Crash Course Nationals, but you also get a 50-inch flat screen TV. And that is being paid for. That is being paid for by Final Round Drag Racing Podcast, the Western New York Super Rod Association, and Jason Oldfield, who's involved with all that stuff as well. So that's part of a package, and yet that's not for a real derby. That's just for the video game. John McCraby, he was going to be running with us yesterday, and his little boy got sick there, and he was in the hospital with a pretty high fever and everything. But that's a guy that it's just getting into the video game side of things. I'd love for him to walk away with that car.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. And who doesn't want a flat-screen TV shipped to their house? It's $3 $3 a chance. How can you go wrong?
Yeah, I need that. Well, I got Gumby calling on the other line. He's been calling me all day. It must be something important.
All right. I'll let you go.
Well, I was actually just going to let him hang out.
Oh, okay. Wait, answer it. Answer it and put him on speakerphone. No. Merge the call.
That would be funny, actually, right? No, he stopped. It stopped ringing.
So you're talking about the Speedway Derby, and this is going to help thin down the New York population so that you can at least manage San Filippo because all the cars you're going to get there. What else has been going on? I mean, how's TrackShot going? Obviously, they were just in Mobridge.
Awesome. We've got some sponsors. We were actually supposed to be in Montana next week, but unfortunately, our camera guy, Bill, got sick. He's had some issues, so he's down for the count for 3 weeks, which puts him right at Mini Meltdown.
Oh, boy.
So he said, good. It's been exciting. We've all been having fun with it. We're trying to keep relaxed with it. We're actually trying. We're trying some new stuff. We've been pushing more towards the sponsor world. So we got some cool sponsors. We picked up AD Cat Tech, which is like a huge cat sponsor of the whole country.
Wow.
And anyone in the country can send their cats there, and it's like it's the real deal. They have like tons of machines breaking cats apart. It's a huge building. It's badass actually. And you know, so we got some good stuff happening. We did some interviews, and we're gonna do some interviews at Mini Meltdown. And I'm excited because it's, you know, we used to do those streams, Chris, from our area, and kind of get New York guys famous, and we got to bring that back.
Absolutely.
I'm excited to get our area back on the map, and some guys are going to make a name for themselves at Mini Meltdown on that stream. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I've already heard some of those conversations, and people are going to know their names.
Yes, and that's awesome, right?
Yes, it is. I think it's great. I'm just thrilled that there's going to be a live show coming from Morris. The number of times that we tried different ways of backdooring that, and the amount of time that you put in to try and getting that stuff put together, the fact that they're on board with it now enough to make this happen and make the investment to get everything run so that it'll work, that's spectacular.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. They're actually trying to speed test it tonight. They speed tested it before, but they're speed testing again tonight so I can like sleep good at night about it.
Right, because you've got other reasons to lose sleep besides that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we got five cars in line now to get done. All of a sudden got added to my list. You know, it's like we all chilled out for a while, and then it comes back like a surge.
Right.
You know?
So, yes.
You know how that goes. But, yeah, I'm excited. So thank you. Thank you for letting us get it out and stuff. And hopefully it'll go good, man. Hopefully it goes good.
I hope it does go well. It'd be great to have a good, smooth, clean, running, no drama derby to reacclimate the state to what Demolition Derby is all about. It would be a huge pickup for our area.
It really would. And real quick, if I can just mention again, if you're coming to Meltdown, nobody under 16, no kids.
Right on.
You know what? I had a premise, or I had an idea, Chris. Like, it would have been funny, like, back in the day if you and I went blue, like, because there's no kids allowed there, we could say whatever we wanted.
Yes.
Like, if we had, like, a all-blue announcers, it would be kind of funny, right?
Right. It would be
just
fun.
An idea, like, Eddie Murphy style. We just went Eddie Murphy style. Because there's no kids there.
Right.
It's just a funny thought I had today.
We could try it out in the pre-race.
If anyone could pull it off, it's you and I. You know,
yes.
We could pull that off.
Yeah. My gosh. Oh, I can't remember where it was. I had to mute all the microphones. You were off the air on the side. And I heard your voice talking. You know, you're going. And all of a sudden, I see your hand shoot out in front of you. And you go, and then you got this dumb. And I'm like, we're not even on the air. And I muted it. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
I think it was at Owenton.
No, that I don't doubt.
We were at Owenton, and I think it was you and Ben were off to the side talking with Pete.
Okay, now that makes sense if you remember why I was fired up that day.
Yeah.
That's the first day I ever got scared of Ben.
Yeah, Ben is a frightening soul.
Ben shut me right down.
Yep.
Oh, the good old days.
Yep. Man.
And look at where we got.
Yep.
Same crap. Well, you know, I think it's going to go good. If we can pop off 265 cars or 260, whatever we got we're figuring 12 heats. We'll figure if we start at 1, we'll be done by 6 each night, 7.
Don't put a time on it. You know better than that.
I know. You say that as soon as I said it, I knew you were going to say that to me.
You got a great crew. You got great drivers. You got great track clearing and stuff.
Yes.
Leave it at that. Don't put a time on it.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. We'll be done early. Can I say that?
I would compliment your crew and leave it at that.
Yes. We got a great crew. They'll do well. They'll do fine.
Perfect.
But I had a lot of people messaging me the last few days, can they get in? And you can't. We're all full. We're full. We cannot take any more people. We're actually up and over with the amount of cars we have. So just chill out. Wait for the next one. I'm sorry if you missed it. But next year, remember to pre-register.
Right.
You never know what's going to happen.
You remember this experience, pre-register.
You never know, you know. So, all right, well, keep me posted. I got to get working on an Eldorado right now and a Diplomat.
Nice. couple of the premier Demolition Derby cars out of your stable, the Eldo and the Diplomat.
Hey, my kid, I got a shocker. I got a shocker for my kid.
That green one?
No, a different one. We're going to go run a U show here in a couple weeks.
Awesome.
My kid's stepping the game up.
That's cool. He had a
new carburetor.
You had a box wagon for him down in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, that was awesome. Oh, my God, what a day. It was so much fun to sit with my kid in the car and just, he had such a great time, and he was so nervous beforehand. He was telling me he didn't want to do it, and he was sick of it, and he's tired, and he just wants to go home. And then by the time he was done, he's screaming, he just wants to run V8s. I love running V8s, Dad. That's what I'm talking about.
That's awesome.
It was great, man, because I was pointing, like, I was just sticking my hand out the window and pointing at cars, and my kid was hitting them. It was so fun. Like, I was pointing at front tires, bam, he hit it. I was pointing at this guy, bam, got him. Like, yes!
Awesome. Well, I'm glad things are going well. Did you hear Ryan Schaffner's got a shocker for Davenport?
I was listening to you guys saying that before, actually. Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, Tixie's having a show in October.
He is?
I get to run a shocker up there. Yeah, Tixie's going to have a show in October.
Cool.
Yeah, we're going to stream it. They're working on it now, but I think they have limousines and everything they smash.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I think Ben's going to get to run a limousine. Yep.
That's awesome.
It'll be a hell of a weekend.
I remember when we were talking about with Mel Thomas from Finger Lakes Media Group on the way up to Batavia, way home from Batavia. This was on the way home. We were talking about when Ben was driving Todd Sayab's wagon, and he couldn't reach, his jeans kept sliding down inside the car.
I tell that story all the time. That was awesome. He ran for like 50 minutes and about 20 of it with no pants.
Right, and he almost won the thing.
Ending. It comes down to him and Mark, right?
Yeah, yep.
Oh, what an ending. Just to come down with you and Mark Sciopa, come on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What a night. That was a hell of a night.
In a borrowed car.
That's when Todd was just giving away cars that night, right?
Yeah he's just
coming up like that.
He's just like, drive this car. It's like, well, you don't own that car. He's like, they don't care. Just take the helmet. Get in the car.
I remember getting in my car. It was an 03 and newer, and they told me it was the fourth body on that frame.
Right.
It's like, hello, this is going to be hard. That was a hard car.
You've never had anything like that.
hell no. Corletto stuffed me in the wall. I got outdriven that night. Mm-hmm. Yep, typical.
Yep. Online, where can they find it? Spinningwheels.com and Facebook, best places?
Spinningwheelsproductions.com.
Productions.com.
You find all the rules, registration, everything's on there. Yep.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
I am bordering on hospitalized level dehydration. It's like a sauna in here. I had to move some papers off the desk. They were wet. Like, they were wet from the humidity in here. It was weird. Like you ever seen, like, you know, paper gets wilty when it gets wet? That's what the papers on the desk looked like. It was, and it obviously didn't rain in here, you know? It was gross.
That's gross.
Yeah, it was rough. Colin Walker checking in. Man, live chat's been busy. We had a good show. Hour and a half went from I didn't know what was going to happen at the start of the show and I couldn't catch up with you to an hour and a half. Not bad.
So I'm sorry about that. That's fine. It's all my fault.
I get it, man. I figured either your phone had died and you forgot to put it on the charger, or you were knee deep in a car and your phone was on the other side of the shop, turned off, like it was muted or something.
That's actually exactly what happened. I was in the garage and I get spotty over there, so I didn't even hear it ring. I never heard it ring.
It's no problem. We caught up. We got the information out, and Mini Meltdown's going to happen. So there's the good news.
Sounds good, brother.
All right.
Thank you.
All right,
talk
to you
guys later.
Love you, brother.
See ya. Love you, too.
See
later.
Ya. Bye. There goes Josh Decker. We will be back again next week, hopefully with a more contiguous show. We appreciate everybody tuning in. This has been a show that you fans have helped make happen. I appreciate it greatly. And we went from something that was going to be potentially nothing and get out early to this. This has been awesome. I appreciate all the support. Always Danny Ogden having some comments. Marty Sager, he's going out there. He says, if my driver in the first heat, can I watch the whole show or do I have to go back to the truck after the first heat? I missed your question. I'm sorry. Marty, I missed your question. I think that Josh actually kind of answered that. He said that if you're there, you can go in the stands as long as you stay socially distanced. So you should be okay. I'm not guaranteeing it. You should be okay. That's going to do it. I'm checking everything. Everything is off that needs to be off. We're going to wrap things up. We appreciate it greatly. Again, thanks so much for everybody, all the supporters that we had, Crash Course Nationals. We've got the raffle car out there. It's going to a good cause. If you need some information or links, it's on my personal Facebook page. I'll share the links later on. Alex Vasco, glad that you're making the trip up to Mini Meltdown. Glad to hear that you're recovering well. Hopefully everybody's doing well. Stay safe. Be well. That's going to do it for this edition of the Crash Course Demolition Derby podcast. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time.
Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com. Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine.
This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby podcast, recorded live at the FigureLinks1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.